Welcome to the Daily Tour Podcast, brought to you by the Fredcast. This almost daily summary of the 2008 Tour de France will be presented soon after the end of each day's racing, so that you can stay up to date on the world's most famous, and some would argue, most important annual cycling event. The Daily Tour is brought to you by the Fredcast Cycling Podcast, for weekly news, product reviews, upcoming events, and everything you need to know about the world of cycling. Listen to the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. The Fredcast can be found at www.thefredcast.com, iTunes, or anywhere you normally look for podcasts. For over 2 years and 100 episodes, the Fredcast is the internet's premier cycling podcast. The Daily Tour is also brought to you by listeners like you. Thank you for your donations via PayPal, and if you'd like to donate, please visit our website at www.thefredcast.com. And now, it's time for the Tour de France 2008 edition of the Daily Tour Podcast. Hello once again, Daily Tour fans. This is David from the Fredcast Cycling Podcast, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Tour Podcast. Today is Sunday, July the 27th, and it is time for Stage 21. That is the final stage in the 2008 Tour de France. Today's stage is 143 kilometers from Étampes to Paris-Champs-Élysées. Along the way, two Category 4 climbs, but really nothing to speak of. And then two intermediate sprints in the finishing circuits, eight finishing circuits on the Champs-Élysées in Paris, where we are certain to have a huge crowd all the way through the Paris suburbs and, of course, on the Champs-Élysées itself. Now, of course, going into Stage 21, our leader, after a really great performance by Carlos Sastre in yesterday's individual time trial, he is in first place in the yellow jersey, 84 hours, 1 minute, and 0 seconds. In second place behind him, having not had the greatest of time trials for this athlete, Cadel Evans from Australia and C. Lancelotto, he's 1 minute, 5 seconds back. He did take back a number of seconds yesterday, but a lot of commentators were expecting a lot more out of Cadel Evans yesterday, and perhaps as a result of a crash that he had earlier on in the tour, that may have just taken too much out of him, and he was not able to turn in the performance that he had hoped. In third place, somebody who's turned in a great performance this year, Bernhard Kohl from Austria and Team Gerolsteiner, 1 minute, 20 seconds back of Sastre. And in fourth, Dennis Menshaw from Rabobank, 2 minutes back. In fifth, United States Christian Vandevelde from Garmin-Chipotle, 3 minutes, 12 seconds back. Well, out on the roads today, it was a very different Tour de France than in the previous stages this year, as it always is on the last day of the race. Today was a day for celebration. For celebration for the teams, for the riders having made it through this grueling 3,000 plus kilometer event over 3 weeks and over 80 hours on the bicycle. And a celebration for those who had won jerseys this year. Andy Schleck from Team CSC in his white jersey with white handlebar tape on his bike. The only white handlebar tape among Team CSC, because the rest of Team CSC had yellow handlebar tape as they were celebrating the yellow jersey of their leader for the Tour de France, Carlos Sastre, as he would win. Barring some unforeseen circumstances today, he was destined to win the yellow jersey on the Champs-Élysées. Also celebrating Bernhard Kohl in his polka dot jersey. And of course, Oscar Freire and his green jersey for sprints. And while it was statistically possible that Oscar Freire could lose the green jersey today, it wasn't probable at all. So along the roads of France, you could see various riders, individuals, and teams riding up and along to Carlos Sastre to congratulate him, shake his hand, pat him on the back, and take pictures with him. You could see that the camera motos were all over Sastre today as each rider came up and congratulated him. Pictures were taken, words exchanged, and smiles all around. And of course, Sastre heading back to the team car, to toast champagne. I think yesterday I said crystal. Actually, the rules say that they can't have glass with them out on the road, so they were using plastic champagne flutes. But he was toasting his director sportif, toasting team owner Bjarne Riis, toasting Andy Schleck, and raising a toast to cameramen and motos alike as they headed down the road. Their pace was really much like a club ride, the same sort of pace that you and I might have if we went out on one of our rides. But these are professional cyclists, and they're usually used to going much, much faster. As the riders got closer and closer to Paris, the crowds got larger and larger. And when they got into Paris, they had 60.5 kilometers to go and 8 finishing circuits around the Champs-Élysées. They would head out and around the Place de la Concorde, up the Champs-Élysées, almost to the famous Arc de Triomphe and the traffic circle there, and then they would make a very hard left turn heading back down the Champs-Élysées, and then out under one of those famous tunnels in Paris, back around through the tunnels, and then around the Tuileries, past the Louvre and Joan of Arc statue, back to the Place de la Concorde, and then back onto the Champs-Élysées. And when they hit the Champs-Élysées today, not only were the crowds huge, but this was when the riders started to put the hammer down. And there was attack after attack after attack today, and not a single one would survive, even a lap, one circuit around the Champs-Élysées before being pulled back by Team CSC, leading the charge at the front of the peloton with guys like Stuart O'Grady and Fabian Cancellara and Jens Voigt leading the pack. At one point, Robbie Hunter got a flat in one of those late finishing circuits from Team Barlow World. He still was able to get that repaired and get back up toward the front of the peloton to get ready for the final sprint. Within the last 3 kilometers, when it came, the rules say that even if Carlos Sastre crashed, had a flat, a major mechanical, he would still get the same time as those who finished in the peloton. At that point, it became clear that Carlos Sastre was the official and clear winner of this year's 2008 Tour de France. Now, around the same time, just can you imagine getting over 3,000 kilometers to Paris, being on one of the last finishing circuits on the Champs-Élysées, and your seat snaps off your seat post? That's exactly what happened to Tour veteran Jens Voigt today. Nevertheless, if I'm not mistaken, he was within the 3-kilometer window, and so he did get the same time as the rest of the peloton. Nevertheless, it was obvious that it was going to come down to a sprint between all of the major sprinters as they headed back up the Champs-Élysées, past Joan of Arc, past the Tuileries, past Place de la Concorde, and as they headed uphill on the Champs-Élysées, it was now time for the lead-out men and the main sprinters to have their say one last time in the final stage of the Tour de France. As they headed up that ascent, slight ascent of the Champs-Élysées, Geert Stigmans from Quickstep taking over for Tom Bonin, who could not participate in this year's Tour de France. We talked about that very early in the Daily Tour podcast. Geert Stigmans being led out by his teammates from Quickstep, Matteo Tuzzato and Steven de Jong, flew ahead of the rest of the major sprinters in the Tour de France to win the stage, followed by Gerald Ciolek and the green jersey of Oscar Freire. At the end of today, at the finish line at the Champs-Élysées, it was Geert Stigmans from Belgium and Team Quickstep, 3 hours, 51 minutes, and 38 seconds. He was followed by Gerald Ciolek, Oscar Freire, Robbie McEwen from Sillansalato, Tor Husoft, Julian Dean, Stefan Schumacher, who has had a great Tour de France, especially after his individual time trial victory yesterday. Then Robert Forster, Leonardo Duque. Oh, and remember Robbie Hunter and the flat that he had on the finishing circuits in Paris? Fixed it fast enough and was able to get back into the peloton to take 10th today for South Africa and Team Barlow World. So that at the end of 3 weeks and over 3,000 kilometers of racing, 87 hours, 52 minutes, and 52 seconds, Carlos Sastre becomes the third Spaniard in as many years to win the Tour de France. He and his team CSC Saxo Bank performed amazingly. I almost said flawlessly, but nothing in the Tour de France is flawless. But they had an amazing victory. And that team, which has been dominant for so many years, really deserves this victory at the Tour de France. Second place going to Cadel Evans from C. Lancelotto, 58 seconds behind Sastre, even on the final general classification. In third, also in the polka dot jersey today, Bernhard Kohl from Austria and Team Gerold Steiner, 1 minute, 13 seconds back. Denis Menchov from Rabobank and Russia, 2 minutes, 10 seconds behind Carlos Sastre. In fifth, from the United States, Garmin Chipotle's Christian Vandevelde, 3 minutes, 5 seconds back. He had a great Tour de France and has nothing to be ashamed of, especially the first year that Garmin Chipotle finds themselves in a major race like the Tour de France. Congratulations to Christian Vandevelde. Sixth place to Frank Schleck from Luxembourg and CSC Saxo Bank, 4 minutes, 28 seconds back. Seventh place, Samuel Sanchez from Spain and Euskaltel Euskadi, 6 minutes, 25 seconds behind Sastre. Kim Kirkin takes eighth place from Luxembourg and Team Colombia, their first time in the Tour de France. The former Team High Road, and congratulations to them for their showing this year. Ninth place to Alejandro Valverde from Spain and Costa Parña, 7 minutes, 12 seconds back. And in 10th, 9 minutes, 5 seconds behind Carlos Sastre from Slovenia and AG2R Tadej Valjevic. In the green jersey, on the podium today, Oscar Freire from Spain and Team Rabobank. And in the white jersey, a future Tour de France winner himself, I have no doubt, Andy Schleck from Luxembourg and Team CSC Saxo Bank. Well, while the riders were out on the course today, the allegations of doping reared their ugly head for the fourth time in this year's Tour de France when it was revealed that Kazakhstan's Dmitry Fofanov from Crédit Agricole is alleged to have failed a doping test after stage 18 this year. According to the director sportif for Crédit Agricole, Roger Legay, Fofanov failed for the use of heptaminol, which is a stimulant and is also used for the use of treating asthma and other breathing issues. According to Legay, quote, he said he bought something on the internet and that he did not tell the team doctor. It is a serious offense. He is obviously fired from the team. Now, Fofanov would have finished the Tour de France in 19th place overall. And I have to tell you, I've heard from a lot of folks who feel that the doping allegations that occurred in this year's Tour de France were enough to make them not want to follow this year's Tour de France, that they felt that the sport had been tainted and that it was in need of major overhaul, and that until that overhaul occurred and until the dopers got out of the sport, they didn't want to have anything to do with watching professional cycling. Now, I have a different perspective on this. My perspective is, from my opinion, one of the reasons why this year's Tour de France was so close, one of the reasons why we had a number of different people in the yellow jersey, why it was so hard to really predict who was going to win from day to day and who would be in that final yellow jersey on the Champs-Élysées, is because this may be one of the fairest Tours de France in a number of years, and that we may be catching the dopers, and that that may be why we've seen such harsh responses from teams and from sponsors this year, how quickly riders have been fired, how quickly they've been ejected from the Tour de France. I believe that we have turned a corner. I further believe that to stop watching the Tour de France, to say that the entire sport is tainted, that that takes away from the efforts of people like Team Colombia and Garmin Chipotle and the stances that they've made, and so many of the other teams as well, but the stances that these teams and these riders have made against doping, I think that to simply turn our back on those efforts is going to doom those efforts to failure, and we want to support those efforts. Now, I know that we will be talking about this tomorrow in the Spokesman Cycling Roundtable podcast, and if you're not a Spokesman listener, I'd encourage you at least to listen to tomorrow's show. You can find it at www.the-spokesman.com. If you're not familiar with the Spokesman, it's industry insiders, bloggers, podcasters, media folks, people who have a great deal of experience and interest in cycling. And I think that you'll be interested in the discussion that we're going to have on this subject. So for more on that subject, tune in tomorrow to the Spokesman Cycling Roundtable podcast. There's our plug. Meanwhile, I really would like to just reflect on this year's Tour de France. My opinion that this is one of the cleanest and one of the best Tours de France in a number of years, it goes without saying. We have just seen some great racing on the road. We've seen alleged dopers caught and dealt with appropriately. And the one regret that I think I have from this year's Tour de France is that it would have been great to see the two Spaniards, Sastre and Contador, going head-to-head against each other in this year's event, to see the two powerhouse teams of Astana and CSC going at each other and to see what the result would be, to see whether or not a guy like Levi Leipheimer would have had a chance to be on the podium again, even perhaps atop the podium this year. That would have been nice. But otherwise, while we've endured sunshine and rain and heat and cold, protests out on the road, crashes, some of which were horrific. We recall Oscar Pereiro, who is going to recover, and his injuries were not as bad as originally thought, but so many crashes that can occur in the Tour de France, even seeing spectators and camera people try to help the racers. I think of John Lee Augustine when he went down on that slope and it looked like he was just going to continue slipping farther and farther down, but he was able to climb back up, get back on his bike and finish that race. Guys like Stefan Schumacher and the amazing breaks and attacks that he made and the win in the individual time trial yesterday. Or how about Mark Cavendish and his four stage victories in this tour? It's been a great 3 weeks. It's been my pleasure spending them with you on the computer, on Twitter, and here on the podcast. I hope that you've enjoyed this coverage. Now, the Daily Tour podcast doesn't go away. It will just sort of go into hibernation for a while. I will be covering the Tour of Utah when it occurs here in a couple of weeks and be bringing you a slightly different perspective than I've brought you to the Tour de France. Of course, we will have the Daily Tour back again for sure for the Tour of California next year, which is an expanded race next year, 9 stages, including a mountaintop finish, something that people have been asking for years and years. And if I sound excited about that, I am. That is always a great race. And to watch it expand and to include that mountaintop finish, it's going to be a great race. I can't wait for it to come. And of course, back with the Tour de France again next year. So stay subscribed to the Daily Tour podcast. I will be back. But in the meantime, the Daily Tour sort of slips into the background and I get to return to my first passion, which is the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. If you're not a Fredcast listener, maybe you found me here on the Daily Tour. Give it a chance. Listen to a couple shows. I think you will enjoy the cycling news, the reviews, the upcoming events, the listener feedback and questions, the training tips and nutrition ideas, and just sort of my unique perspective on the world of cycling, not just professional cycling, but cycling all around. So for now, the Daily Tour heads off into the sunset for at least a short period of time. Once again, it has been my pleasure sharing these 3 weeks with you. I hope that you've enjoyed it. I look forward to talking to you again here on the Daily Tour and certainly on the Spokesman as well as on the Fredcast. So for now, this is David Bernstein from the Fredcast Cycling Podcast in beautiful Park City, Utah, in the United States of America, saying thanks so much for staying with us for 3 weeks. I will talk to you again soon. So long for now. That's it for today's episode of the Daily Tour Podcast. If you'd like to comment on the show, please send an email to thefredcast@gmail.com. That's thefredcast@gmail.com. Or you can send a voicemail to area code 435-258-6373. That's 435-258-6FRED. Be sure to follow our frequent live updates of the day's racing via Twitter. The Twitter username is Daily Tour. Remember, there's no space. And you can sign up for those at twitter.com/dailytour or by sending a text message to 40404 with the words follow Daily Tour. And of course, please check out our website at www.thefredcast.com for the final results of the day's racing, and of course, for the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. I will see you all again on the next episode of the Daily Tour or the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. Please don't forget to tell your friends about the show. We love to get new listeners. And in the meantime, thank you for listening to the Daily Tour Podcast.